Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of this Monday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report here on Global Star Radio Network. We're live with Matthew Jonathan Wright. We're going to get to him, Code Searcher, in just a second. We got a quick
announcement. You know what, folks? It's getting close to Christmas. Or if you don't celebrate Christmas, if you have family over, just a fellowship, whatever the occasion might be, think about offering snacks, quality snacks from nuts.com. That's nuts.com. You know, the times when family come over and you just huddle around maybe a fireplace and whatever you might do. Or if you go to someone else's house, take something with you. Always a crowd pleaser, nuts.com. You know, the other thing about nuts, for example, we tend to overeat during the holidays. You talk about a way to curb your cravings with something a bit healthier, nuts.com. Nuts do just that. We all want to, you know, just eat and such during the holidays. Well, we've got you covered on that part. We found this incredible website, nuts.com. Nuts.com. They have, in our opinion, the best tasting snacks and cashews and peanuts and just a complete array of nuts and baking goods and whatever you want. It's the best tasting on the planet. Nuts.com is the simple and most convenient way to have nutritious, delicious, healthy nuts. So many other tasty treats as well from around the world delivered right to your door. You know, we went to nuts.com and I entered my coupon code HH, or my code in the microphone box HH, and had a great time. Ordered some pistachios, ordered some, my wife ordered some things for baking. I'm not sure exactly what they were. We ordered chocolate covered cranberries. I mean, in addition to cashews and pistachios. Oh, it's just fantastic. And you know what? It was seamless. The ordering process was seamless. And it's a fun thing to do. Right now, new customers, go to nuts.com. And enter HH in the microphone box. And you know what? Like for the next 72 hours, I believe. It's limited, extremely limited. New customers will get a holiday tin for free with your purchase. It's a $20 value. For full details, go to nuts.com, click on the mic, enter our code HH. And folks, mini yogurt pretzels. You've got Cinnamon Toast Caramel Half Pop Popcorn. You've got sugar cookie bites, chocolate covered cranberries. Offer is good while supplies last, though, so you can't don't put it off. Nuts.com HH in the microphone box, folks. Please do it today. I mean, man, you know, you can't. Oh, it's fun too to get a wonderful package that you get with. It comes in a nice box with their funny box and all this writing on it. It's just fun to get, fun to have, and you know, best tasting and just the aroma. Oh, it's tremendous. Also, folks, Blockit Pocket, BlockitPocket.com, B-L-O-C-K-I-T, Pocket.com, BlockitPocket.com. This is a really unique invention. It eliminates outside entities from tracking or hacking you. What you do is you stick your cell phone in this Blockit Pocket. It avoids annoying phone calls or texts just at the wrong moment. If you're at a, I don't know, if you're at a funeral or church service, whatever you might be, you can put it in there. And you don't have to turn the phone off. It just blocks all incoming calls. It provides protection from EMPs. It protects RFID passports, credit cards, and transponders. It's water resistant. It's 100% of the materials, by the way, are sourced in the United States from United States companies. Manufacturing is done local. They employ local people. Check it out. BlockitPocket.com. All right. One more thing, too. Joey, you're talking about climate change or the climate change talks and such. Mm-hmm. People need to understand, I believe, too, that when we talk about climate change, what's affecting the climate patterns, the weather patterns? Well, it's very simple. Chemtrailing, geoengineering. Just want to bring that up. All right.
Let's go to our guest now, Matthew Jonathan Wright. Welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Thank you for having me. Good to be back, guys.
Yeah, good to have you back. Matthew, you had done some work. Now, for those people who did, because we picked up new listeners, and so many people don't know, you're a code searcher, but what kind of code are you looking for and where are you searching for it? Let's get that out of the way first.
Well, if you didn't know, guys, and let me just say, for the last time I was on here, I tried to cram too much information, so I want to just first apologize to your viewers for that. But to get to your question, I look at the ELS code, which is equal letter distance skip. But there are many other codes in the Bible. It's an amazing book. You have the names code, which from the beginning of the of time with Adam all the way down to Yeshua, each one of those names has a meaning behind it. And if you read them in sequence, they tell a story. That's another code. There's a pneumatical codes where chapters and verses, the numbers there actually mean something correlating to years. So, and that's just to name a few. So it's a very complex and, exciting book to explore. And I put in roughly about 20,000 hours searching the scriptures for codes. And, there have been 135 texts that were tested to see if there were codes in it. Some of your viewers may know that people claim that there are codes in Moby Dick and Gone with the Wind and things like that. Those are some of the texts that were checked. You can find random occurrences of names and words and things like that, but the Bible is the only one that has this phenomenon, which is the Bible code, and with the ELS and correlating scriptures that complement one another. You've heard me say before on this show, I believe, that the Bible codes are the DNA of the Bible. I was just telling someone last night, I believe, that with any one scripture, there's over 1,000 different interpretations. But what does our Creator mean in those scriptures? And there must be a way for Him to validate His own book. And I believe that's where the codes come in. Someone also posted on one of my posts today saying, I don't need the codes, I have the scriptures. And that's fine if you want to, be in that level of understanding. But in Daniel was told to seal up the book until the end. All right, well, would you agree that we're in the end? I believe that we are, 100%. So how are the scriptures unsealed? I think the codes play a critical part in that, guys. You've also heard me say it wasn't hid from us, it was hid for us. And I truly believe that there's an enemy who is determined to destroy us and destroy Yahuwah's creation, that he had to keep things from him. For instance, Isaiah 53, you've heard me say this before, it is cryptic. That prophet was speaking cryptically, and Satan had no idea, or he would have never crucified our Savior. That was on intentional. That's the way this book is. There are some places where, right in the plain text, the author, whoever speaking, is speaking cryptically. He's telling us something on a deeper level. And you can take that chapter and look at it coded, and it tells you who the Messiah is. It says, Yeshua is my name, in Isaiah 53. That one chapter. The odds of some of these ELSs coming up, and they're astronomical. They're in the zillions. I can't even put a name behind the number. There's so many zeros. So, to me, it's a passion. It's something that he put in my heart to do as a watchman. And here I am.
Okay.
Excited to share these things with you guys. And, like I said, we tried to put too much into 2 hours last time, so I'm going to try to keep it simple. And
problem.
I got feedback from people last time that it was a little too much. So we're going to keep it simple. And
I got to tell you, Matthew, it's first of all, it's a difficult, to me, it's a difficult subject to comprehend, because you're looking at trying to explain something that's not quite tangible, and certainly not in the mainstream or not in the norm, I guess.
Right.
So basically, your source material is the Old Testament or the Torah, and
right.
they're cylinders, or if you will, they're scrolls. And when the scrolls are laid out properly or placed positioned properly, according to the Hebrew the Hebrew language and alphabet, then you look for this equal. It would be like a manuscript, like Moby Dick, for example, as you pointed out. If you had the manuscript and put it out just the way it was intended, and you look for equal letter spacing. It's the same with the Torah. So you look for patterns within the text.
That's
or
right.
Names. Okay, so it's not, I mean, it sounds complicated. I guess really it's that simple. And mm-hmm. although it's simple, it's not. It's deep, but it's the concept is simple. Well, it's all right. So yeah. What did you find? What have you found now? I mean, because we're going to get into this later, folks. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is in there.
Yes. That's one of the things I've been working on this week, guys. And I was talking to one of your engineers there, JD, and yep. I was telling him about it, and he got pretty excited. Of course, I was also telling Joe today on the phone that I didn't get finished searching the Trump tables, so they're still preliminary. So I didn't have any charts to show, but I do have a link that I gave Eric that takes you to Postscripts, where Louis Vega has all of my tables up to date. Annotated, so if your viewers want to go check those out, there's also a Bible Code app for smartphones over on that site as well. They can search there and find everything they've done annotated in English and see those tables. But I did provide a few tonight because we didn't get into them last time to talk about as the days of Noah. Some people wanted to talk about CERN. I did a video last night on Islam, which is the Axis term was Islam is from Satan. And by the way, guys, I got to tell you, you're probably going to get hate mail and death threats just as I am because of this show. And that's one of the things that drew me to looking at Donald Trump because of some of his statements. It was, he said some things that assuredly would inflame some Muslims. And so I checked it out, and indeed in those preliminary searches indicating that he's endangered his own life by some of his statements. And so that's what I'm looking at now and trying to see. There are some anomalies in his table. And by the way, his name is encoded 269 times. So there's a lot to try to look for. One of the most interesting ones is coded at a width of 5776, which is 2016. That is the Hebrew year 2016. So I initially started looking at that one, obviously. So is he going to be the next president? Guys, I cannot find anything that's indicating that we will see another president. In fact, I found a table called The Last President, and I've been searching it to see what names come up. And the only one that comes up so far is Obama. That is the name. And, of course, we know he is the spoiler. Our Creator sent him to this country as judgment, and that is what he is. So many people have asked me, is he truly the Antichrist? And so let's just cover that real quick before we get into everything else. And I want to answer that question. I am about 90% sure that he is the man. However, if he is not, that does not mean the codes are false, because Satan always has a vessel. We know this from Daniel's statue. Each one of those represented a superpower of the time, and each one of them were the Antichrist of that time. Now, if the election passes and there is no martial law and it passes on to the next, well, guess what? He's also, unless he's saved by grace, he is also a vessel, because the powers and principalities of the air control the leaders of the world unless they're covered by the blood of Yeshua. So whoever the next one is, if there is an election, most assuredly will be that vessel again. The Antichrist will come from a superpower, not from some obscure country around the world. So we're not looking for like thousands of different possibilities. It's a handful of people that it could possibly be. And I do believe it's a multi-headed beast consisting of the false prophet and the Antichrist. And I do believe the Catholic Church, and I don't mean to upset any Catholics out there, you guys are cool, but you are deceived. The Pope plays a part in it. It's a part of the beast system. I did mention in one of the videos I did that Islam was actually born, and you can search this out, guys. Islam was born from the Vatican. It is only 1,400 years old. It is the youngest of the trinity of religions. And I got some flag and death threats from that video. That was the moon god and the harlot. So that's what led me to look into Islam is from Satan, and it's absolutely there. I presented one of the tables to your engineer, the one I did last night, and it's, to me, when I look at the clustering there, just as another, you know, another validation of the judgment that's coming to this
right.
country.
Well, Matthew, here's what we'll do. We have now on screen the first panel, Islam is of Satan. Matthew, Bible Code Matrix of End Times Prophecy.
Right.
Okay. Now, if somebody would look at this, and you have to understand, too, we're dealing with the audio only in the radio. So, for the people looking at this on YouTube, on our official YouTube channel, folks, it's there at the official Hagman YouTube channel, or for the people on radio, explain to us what we're seeing here. What's the background? And we're going to keep this image up here, Islam is of Satan. We're going to keep this image up here as we discuss this. So what are we looking at here? Because we always see is like a bunch of letters or kind of stuff in
it
the
looks
back.
Like
and
a,
then, yes,
it looks like a little word puzzle or something, isn't it? Well,
right.
What we're actually looking at, we're looking at the whole scripture on a cylinder. And this cylinder width, if we take from the beginning to the end, not changing any of the letters, like a rope or a string, and we're wrapping it around a cylinder, like a spiral. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at a spiral around the cylinder of all the scripture. And the highlighted Islam of Satan in yellow there, that is your access term. It is also considered to be like a combination lock. You have to type in each one of those letters to find this cylinder. Once you found this cylinder, you have a matrix. Now you're looking at a matrix of things that are hidden in there. In this roughly 5,000 letters is what we're looking at. And the anomaly of equal letter distance. So each one of these letters you see in any of those words, like Lucifer in red, each of them are at an equal letter distance skip. If you look at Lucifer there, you see there's two letters in between each red letter.
Right.
Or above that, you have from the beast, which is equal letter distance. And above that, the Vatican and the fallen. They're all connected at an equal letter distance skip.
Let me stop you right there for a second, because people are going to look at this and say, wait a minute. You're dealing, first of all, it's Hebrew. So folks, look at this if you have it on YouTube. Look at this panel. So, this is in Hebrew, the script, the cylinder is in Hebrew. And people are going to say, wait a minute, it's in English here, like the Vatican's in English and all this. But no, you just,
annotated,
all you did.
I just did the Hebrew, and then my good buddy, Luis Vega, who annotates all of my tables like you see there with the English, so that English-speaking believers can see and understand what the table is. My primary audience is Israel. They are who is going to turn his eyes back to in the end days.
Right.
I look at myself, or consider myself, a watchman for Israel and a part of the body of Yeshua. But I'm trying to show in these codes the truth of what the codes reveal, who the Messiah is, who the man of sin is, who the two witnesses are, all these questions that we have about, and everybody has opinion of, what does Yahuwah have in the codes about it? That's what I'm looking at here. And you can see with each of these things, roughly we're looking at two or three dozen different terms in a matrix of 5,000 letters, and with each word that relates to one another, the probability and statistics go up with those words. So the fact that we're finding all of these words at an equal letter distance skip assuredly shows a divine hand in the word. This was given to Moses at Mount Sinai letter by letter. He spoke them to Moses letter by letter, and it remained one continuous line of letters until the day of Ezra, when Ezra separated these, and if you look, you have blue in the script. I'm looking at the script. You see they're blue and they're black letters. That's how they're separated in this, what you're seeing. If I turn all those letters blue or all of them black, you couldn't distinguish words. It would just be line after line of letters. That's how the Bible was up until the time of Ezra. And he decoded it, if you will, by making separations of the words. So when it was given to Moses, it was actually coded from that point on. And just take it a step further, Yeshua said, you know, from the foundation of the earth. So from even from the beginning, and that's why we can find the resurrection of Yeshua in Genesis, by the way, is because from the beginning, from when he spoke things into the existence, they were already encoded in his word. And that's amazing. That's amazing. No other book does this, guys. No other book. I don't care what they tell you, you will not find codes like this in Gone with the Wind. You may find anomalies like Kennedy and Schott, something like that. That's interesting. But take it further. Find this many words, and then find scripture that goes along with it, that validates what you're seeing. That's, you know, the anomaly.
You know, folks, I've often, the more I study the scriptures, and the scriptures were not separated into chapters and verses until, what, 300 A.D. plus, I guess. I mean, it was a while before. It was all one continuous scroll. Now, my terminology might not be precise, but you get the idea. Think about a roll of toilet paper, or not. I don't mean to be disrespectful. Think of a roll of what? Paper towels, or think of a roll of paper. All right, sheepskin, whatever it might be, and just stretch it out and have the writing on that. Okay, yeah. That's kind of what we're looking at, right? Am I right in that kind of analogy?
Right, except the spiral will be on the outside of a cylinder. So it's like a slinky almost. The scripture would be looking like a slinky, spiral around a cylinder. And each cylinder width is determined by Yahuwah. He determines where any one access term is encoded.
Okay.
For instance, I believe Obama's name is encoded at a width of something like 23,000 and something. But what we're looking at here is 3,040, I believe, is this table. So it's a small cylinder. It's not a very big cylinder. So that makes it even more of an anomaly because you're looking at
because you're dealing with a smaller a pool
section,
if you will.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Section.
So there'll be less books that we're looking at in the matrix itself. And let me just run down and let's see this top part of it where you see the Vatican at. That is 2 Samuel. By the time you get to Lucifer or the red letters there, we're in 1 Kings. By the time you get down to where it says Allah in the green, we're in 2 Kings. And let's see, down to where you have America and all of that, that's all in Isaiah. The white highlighted scripture you got going across the page, that's Isaiah 24, where the earth is turned upside down, everything is shaken up, the earth reels to and fro like a drunkard. That's right there. And you can see the cliff in America is right there, the blue letter is right there in the middle of it. So it's touching that, and to me is significant when you have letters that touch or appear in verses. You can see you got the eagle. There's an eagle down there. There is the sword and war crossing right through where it says in the day of Yahuwah, in the day of the Lord, in other words, where people read it in their Bibles. That's right. There twice. And that's the great and terrible day.
I apologize for kind of going backwards here. And if you covered this, my apologies, but the color coding is referencing the distance of the letters, or is it just for clarity?
No, the different, you're right, for clarity, because if I did it all in green or all in blue, you would not be able to distinguish the different words. It'd just be a clustering of letters. So the computer actually determines, and you can do it manually, you can change the colors for each word that comes up. It's just to keep it distinguishable is why that is.
Okay. And if I can interject one thing here, and I think you'll probably agree with me on this, and if you don't, let me know. But I think you'll agree that, you know, what we're looking at here, of course, we have been given the Word of God, the inerrant Word of God in terms of our Bible, you know, through our Bibles. And we know that our salvation, our way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. End of story, period. That's it. Now, what we're doing here is we're looking at the Word, not in a New Age, twisted, let's stand on our head, let's squint. We're searching for knowledge because we've been tasked to search for knowledge. We've been asked.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay. It says in Proverbs, we're told in Proverbs, it's the honor of kings to search out a matter and for the glory of Yahuwah to hide a thing. So, and I may have that backwards. I'm paraphrasing here and don't have the scripture in front of me. But we're told, and there are several other scriptures where we're told that Yahuwah hides. He even hides his face. There are places in the scripture where he says he hides his face. He hides from man. He does hide. I got that from the last time I was on your show. People were messaging me. God don't hide anything in the Bible. We've got everything we need. Well, that's not true. He does hide things in the Bible, and you don't need it to be saved. Let me just make that statement and be very clear. You don't need the codes to be saved. You need the atoning blood of Yeshua. And that's it. What we're looking at is called the sod, or the hidden level of the Bible. It's hidden. There are different levels of looking at Scripture. You got
there's four different levels.
Yep. That's right. Four. That's right.
Yep.
You got Pesach, you got Drash, you got Remez, and you got sod, which is the deepest level and the hidden level. And it's absolutely there. It's no question about it. I would have not have dedicated over 20,000 hours in this if it was just a parlor trick, if it was just a game or some sort of, witchcraft or something. This is absolutely kadosh. This is not witchcraft. This is not divination. There are many that will use the codes for ill. You can do anything, you use anything for evil. And some do. I talked about a cult that's propagated by the guys are using codes or what they call codes to convince people that the Messiah has already came. He's already here, and it's a man who was formerly a convicted felon in that particular cult. But it is not divination. If a person who was not anointed and you weren't called to do this and you're just playing around and things like that, I would warn against that. There's a thing called playing with strange fire, like in the temple. That's a big no-no. So I would recommend if people are interested in looking at this, not to play around with it like it's some kind of Ouija board and be looking for lottery numbers or who you're going to marry or anything like that. You're going to find trouble if you do.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought up the four levels of what did you call them? Four levels of research?
Four levels of interpretation. Yeah.
Of interpretation, right. And Dr. Michael Lake talks about those. Paul McGuire talks about them. Many biblical expositors talk about the four levels of interpretation, and they all have to agree. By the way, I mean, when I say agree, they have to be consistent. That's fine. So that's a good the foundation clarification. So getting back to the to this panel, I mean, we've got some problems here, at least based on your findings. What's your general takeaway from this panel?
There was an urgency or a level of critical urgency the last time I was here, and that's why I tried to ended up overloading what I was going to present. But the thing is to remember this: this country walked away from its creator. We are condoning as a collective people gay marriage and abortion and things like that. We have gone far and away from the one who's blessed this country. And so there's going to be a level of judgment based on that that's coming. And I've discovered in the codes that there's such a thing. And we covered this the last time. We talked about the sword of God, the sword of Yahuwah. Remember those cross swords I was showing you in Babylon?
Yeah.
That is right out of Ezekiel. And we are told in the scriptures and in the codes that there will be a sword that he brings. Well, you're looking at it. That's Islam. And Islam is from the hand of Yahuwah. That's clear from this table that he is allowing in this. I also found the table last year of the Antichrist, and right next to it, standing vertically, in more letters than the word Antichrist, it says there, I created this evil. And we know from Isaiah that Yahuwah told us, I created light and dark, I created good and evil. And so when I found that, I was shocked until I came across the scripture where he says that in Isaiah. I could not believe that what I was looking at. But you can see here in this table, right in the middle, where it says Lucifer and the beast, it says from the hand of Elohim. And so he is allowing this. He is allowing this. This is his sword that he's bringing against us. Just like with the Jews when they were in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was the sword. He was not a righteous man. He was a wicked man. But the scriptures calls him the anointed one. He was anointed. That does not mean, which, by the way, that word is Mashiach. So let's just be clear. Anointed doesn't necessarily mean that you are righteous. Nebuchadnezzar was anointed to be the sword to bring judgment against the nation. So that's what we're seeing here. And so when we're talking about the enemy within, guess what? They're already here, guys. And they're letting them in. And when I say they, I'm talking about the administration. They're bringing them in as refugees, and you better believe there's enemy within there. Not all people in Catholicism or Islam are a part of jihadists or bad people. Let me just be clear on that. There are some good people in those two religions that are deceived. But the fact of the matter is, they are not part of the body. This is part of Satan's harlotry. When we talk about the woman who rides the beast or the mystery Babylon, we're seeing a mixing of religions, Chrislam and things like that. When you have Christians going to mosques and Muslims coming to churches and they're reading from one another's book, and then, of course, you've got the picture of the Pope kissing the Quran, things like this. This should not be. You know what I mean? So we're inviting them in as a nation, and you know, from the reports I'm seeing with cell phones being bought, 150 cell phones being bought, and gas cylinders and things like that, and you know, remote controlled cars and man and woman going on a shooting spree. You can see it. You can see the writing on the wall. They're here. I'm not trying to spread any fear to people. I'm just, we need to be aware. And you know, over the summer, I was in Dallas, and it took me 3 days. I was in the Muslim side of town, by the way, reading from there. And it took me 3 days because of what I was going through to realize what I'd done, where I was. I looked around, and I was in basically Iraq. People were walking around with, you know, Muslim prayer beads and full white garbs and headdress and all this stuff, and I couldn't believe the population. I think they told me around 70 or 80% in that general area were all Muslim. So, you know, they're here in concentrated areas, just like any...
Matthew, you had mentioned, and folks were talking with Matthew Jonathan Wright, code searcher. Now, links up on HagmanandHagman.com. And help support his ministry. Check out his Shopify store. Very interesting. But you mentioned something earlier, folks, or Mr. Wright, about the cell phones. Now, back in 2006, and this will give you some background here. 2006, 2007, and I was on the first hour last night with Dave Hodges on the Common Sense Show. Great show, despite my appearance. But we had talked about this because he had done an article yesterday about these cell phones. Now, here's a problem. In 2006, 5, 6, and 7, actually, but especially in 6 and 7, Mr. Wright, we found on Arabic language, Farsi language websites where they were promoting the people here in the United States to purchase these cell phones in bulk and send them over to Iraq, Afghanistan, for uses to create an IEDs. We turned this information over to the federal authorities. And we got such a blowback saying, you know, you idiots, basically them telling us, you idiots. Now, this has nothing to do with the IEDs. It has nothing. Well, within a month or two, Somebody sent us this, somebody from the inside sent us an FBI alert saying, hey, you know what? They're using cell phones to create these IEDs in Iraq and Afghanistan. Bottom line, there's another, and I want people to understand this because what you just said, people need to know this. They're doing the same thing today, but Mr. Wright, they're not sending them overseas.
Nope, they're right here. They're right here. And so the government, they tell you that, but they also deny or try to deny that they were sending weapons to drug dealers in Mexico.
Sure.
But that came back to bite them. So you can't trust this administration, this government. This is not, and I've said this before, this is not the country that my grandfather went to war in World War II and fought for. This is not the same country. It's much different. And I'm a little concerned about it. I believe, with everything that I am, that this is Mystery Babylon, that this is Babylon, the spiritual Babylon spoken about in the prophets. There's no getting around that. We've drifted so far away that it's almost like a runaway train that it is eventually a train wreck. There's a point where it's no longer salvageable. You cannot stop it. It is going to wreck. And that's what I'm seeing in the codes. Now I'm pleased to see that there's some turnaround in the Roe v. Wade, that there's some progress in some of that. But is it enough? I don't know. For this country to be redeemed, it's going to call for all of us to be on our face begging forgiveness for the sins of the nation. I don't remember any more national prayers since this president took office, but that would be a start. We need to be doing is praying as a nation. I'm a little concerned that this administration claims that this is no longer a Christian nation, that it's something else, and that bothers me, because I do believe that we were established in our Creator's hand.
Where we went off the rails, Mr. Wright, America was established as a Christian nation. The Mayflower Compact, it predates the Constitution, obviously. Constitution given to us. Now, our rights bestowed by God, delineated through the Constitution, but you're correct in so many ways. We have thrown away the morals. We have thrown away the Judeo-Christian heritage that we were founded upon, and adhered to the profane. And we are now professing the profane and exporting the profane. It's just an amazing and sickening thing. So your research, now back to your research. Let's get into this, because what you're seeing is the Torah, the Old Testament, the Word of God saying, or the codes in there saying, man, we don't see much beyond Obama. We don't see anybody beyond Obama, at least right now here in this particular
world. That's right. Right now, I can't find anything that's going to indicate that there's going to be another president. Now, I could be wrong. And let me just say this, because people want to, go back to the codes are not reliable for predicting. Even though there have been codes that come out as far as a year ahead of time, like Yitzhak Rabin's assassination was Michael Drazen 1 year before that. Now, the rabbis, way back in even in the 70s when they started doing this, were finding things before they happened. And they know how to do that. I don't get into the mysticism or the Kabbalah or any of that stuff, but those rabbis know how to do it. During the first Gulf War, there was a group of rabbis that searched the codes and knew where each one of those Scud rockets were going to hit, and they moved their people, and not one Jew was killed in the Scud attack that Saddam launched on Israel, and that was because of the codes. Also, they predicted the assassination of I believe it was a Romanian prime minister or something like that. So there is evidence that you can find things before they happen. But it's not a crystal ball. I do believe that they confirm things. They validate the scriptures, or things that are left open to interpretation, in other words. Like I said, what does Yahuwah mean? Not what Joe Blow on the corner, you know, means on certain scriptures. But yeah, you know, it's a particular science, I believe, that we're given for the end times. Now,
Mr. Wright, I have a very important question, because I think people need to understand this too. Do you need, for example, I do suspect that hindsight in with respect to the codes would be much more accurate and much more understandable.
Absolutely.
Right? So be, okay.
Yes. Okay. You can find anything historical in the codes with great accuracy and a lot of detail. Now, finding something before it happens, that takes an anointing or revelation from the Creator. Now, I believe Michael Drazen was given what he was given to put the Bible codes in the mainstream, because the rabbis are not concerned with the Gentiles. They don't care to share the codes with the Gentiles. It's for their people, and that's how they look at it. So the fact that Michael Drazen came along, who is an agnostic, he doesn't even believe in a creator, and by the time you read his third book, his conclusion is the codes are in there, put there by an alien source, so that we can find it and change our future. That's his conclusion. And by the way, he only found one predictive code. That's all he was given. Everything else, as Rabbi Gleason calls it, is failed Drazen predictions. And again, I do not condone using the codes to try to predict something. That is, in my opinion, witchcraft, divination. That's taking this and playing with strange fire when you do that. However, if Yahuwah gives you something and shows it to you, and you see it, and then it happens, well, there you go. And that actually happened to me last year when Ariel Sharon passed away. Yahuwah told me 3 weeks before it happened and showed it to me in the codes, and we covered it on my channel. I was a little nervous about doing so, because we're talking about a man who was in a critical state. He was in a coma, so I was a little nervous about talking about his death and what Yahuwah said before it actually happened, but it did. And it happened three weeks later. And then there have just been things where I've put myself out there, like Siding Spring, the comet that was to have an encounter with Mars. I told everybody, based on the codes, that I expected a direct impact because of the word collision was there. However, that didn't happen. But as it were, the atmospheres did collide, and there was a level of what they call a plasma discharge that happened there, and that was in the code. We did find that before it happened, but I was wrong about the direct or the deep impact that I thought was going to happen. So we have to be really careful.
The revelatory aspect of this, I'm familiar with this as an investigator. 30 years of like looking at various items, including but not limited to cryptic analysis or crypto analysis. I don't know what you'd call it, but you've got to be careful, because you could be looking at something and looking at it all wrong. So to draw, you know, you've got a whole bunch of evidence on the table,
right?
Without drawing, go ahead.
Yeah, no, and that's what I was going to say, and that's why I spend so much time in any one table before I, publish it, because, like I said, I put tables out and been wrong and had to go back and recant. And there's been other code searchers in the past few months who put out tables predicting the rapture, predicting this, and it didn't happen. And let's just understand something. There's a level or an X factor in the codes, and that is free will, choice. When we're talking about man, he is predestined to a point, but he does have choices, and that's all a part of the codes. So, for instance, it's in Obama's table that he has a chance of being assassinated. It says, shall be shot from within, and things like that. Now, let's consider that. If there is a possibility that happens, there must be a person or persons who is considering doing so. They have a choice. They can either or, and that's both there. You may find the word, he was shot. Well, you know, that is whether or not it actually happens, and the person chose to do so. So what if you find that table and you find he is shot and it doesn't happen? Well, somebody chose not to make that choice.
Okay.
And that's the X factor of it. And, you know, we have to take into consideration the only one that knows who's going to make what choice is the Creator. And that's how the revelation comes. He's the only one that knows before it happens. He says, I know the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. And, you know, when He gives you a revelation, if it happens, then you know it is absolutely from Him. So there you go. But let's just keep in mind, now, this is not for predicting. So don't go and try to buy the Bible Code program and see if you could predict something. If you're going to do anything, research history. Look for things that have already happened and see if they're there. And you know, let the Creator show you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you through that.
Is my name in there?
Absolutely.
I'm kidding.
Absolutely.
Bro. It's
no,
not
you're
next
there,
to Obama, is it? It's not next to Obama, is it?
I hope not, but we're all there.
Okay.
If you're called by His name, you are absolutely there. You're absolutely there.
All right.
And I haven't had, there's been no one that I haven't been able to find yet.
All right. It's not Doug Hagman, President 2016. I can tell you that. Anyway, all right. So, by the way, you mentioned about Obama being, you know, about Obama and the Antichrist. I believe in an Antichrist spirit. I believe, like you said, the vessel. It was certainly Obama has an Antichrist spirit, for crying out loud.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're not.
By definition, anyone that denies Christ or Yeshua as the Son is Antichrist. And, you know, this man, and there's people who says, and even on one of the blogs that I was trashed on when I talked about the ring he wears on his finger that says there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. There's also rumors that he carries a monkey idol.
Oh, he does.
Some sort of idol in his pocket.
Yep.
So, and by the way, the word Christian or Nasri is not in his table, but both spellings of Muslim or Islam is there. So, I can't get around that in the codes. He says he's a Christian. I can't prove it in the codes, but I can show that there's a high probability he's a Muslim.
One thing I just want to clarify, because if we're not looking at the codes for predictive purposes, we're actually looking at them for verification. Why do we need verification? I guess to some extent, I think we are using it for prediction, not prediction, but for what's the word?
Validation would be a good
validation.
Word because there are many people who would say, and I've been told. That I was stupid for believing in fairy tales and myths, and they're referring to the Bible. There are people out there that believe the Bible is a fairy tale, that there was not a Jonah in the well, that there was not a virgin who bore a son, that there was not a Savior who died on the cross. It's all a fairy tale. So, using probability and mathematics, science, I can show atheists in the codes with a high probability of who the Messiah is, and they can't get around that. Show me in another book. Show me in another book where there's code to deny it. There's not one.
You know something?
The Creator uses. Yeah.
Anyone who could look at this and deny that there is a Creator, meaning a God, the one God, to me, the religion of atheism is madness. Even
absolutely.
It ranks below even Islam. At least Islam, I can justify their incorrect and perverted theology or theocracy or whatever you want to call it, but atheism, to me, is intellectually bankrupt madness. But go ahead, sir.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They put their knowledge and intellect before anything else. There is no Creator. I'm a divine being is the mindset there.
Right.
But,
exactly.
I
just wait. We're about 6 minutes before the top, 5 minutes before the top of the hour. Getting so before we move on here, what do we need to know about your panel, this one, panel number one? Anything we should really, in the next 5 minutes, just kind of put the period or exclamation point behind the sentence here?
You're talking about the one we're looking at, the Islam of Satan? Well, it validates to me, above anything else, there's no doubt that this is from you know, the darkness. There's no light in Islam, and if there's anybody out there that's Muslim, I would urge you to find the Savior of the Bible, and you will be amazed at the revelation that comes to you. Islam teaches that there's no salvation, Joe. Did you know that? Did you know that Islam teaches that there is no salvation, that you cannot get to heaven? The only way to get to heaven is jihad.
Right.
That's the only way. And that's the mentality. And that's why there are so many men and women who are readily available and willing to put on a bomb and be a suicide bomber, because dying that way is the only way you're guaranteed, according to the Quran and Muhammad, that you can get into heaven. That's the only way.
And right before you came on the first hour, I was talking about the origins of global jihad, citing Peter Lavenda, the researcher, the author. And it's interesting because as I went through this and I began looking at Islam, the virgins for jihad, if you will, this manly religion of Islam was really propagated by the Nazis. Meaning to say that, for example, the Nazis who were adhering to a religious bias of Islam did so because it was a manly religion, because of the Quran, which was so violent. And it was man who, the Nazis who really pushed forth the agenda of, or the prize of.
Absolutely. You know, Hitler actually took a trip to Israel and met with the Mufti of Jerusalem and come up with a deal with him that they would not let Jews come back to Israel, and the Mufti wanted that the Jews be exterminated. And it was all about petrol and oil. They were guaranteeing them plenty of oil if they would extinguish the Jews. So,
it's always
absolutely.
About oil. Yep.
That's
it's
right.
Always about the resources. And you're exactly correct. The Grand Mufti, Amin al-Husseini, and Hitler, they met numerous times. And, of course, Islam and the Nazi factor just... And this is why, Mr. Wright, this is why we're having the problems we are today in the
Absolutely.
Middle East, because of the Nazism and the Nazification of our government here. All right. We're just a few minutes away from the top of the hour. So the bottom line, Islam is of Satan. That's what you, the takeaway from this, according to the Bible codes. The 666, Lucifer, Obama in here. 2016.
He is a spoiler. That's right.
Spoiler.
He's the spoiler. That's what the codes call him. The spoiler, the one, the treacherous dealer, the one who deals treacherously. All of those things is refers to him. His name is all over it. And again, to your viewers, you can go to the link that I gave your engineer there to Postscript, and you can find all these tables annotated. And every time I do one, within the next day, Lewis usually has the annotated done. So I commend him on that. Thank you, Lewis, for doing that. But you can find all these tables and look at everything and anything that you want to on any subject that I have from that site there.
Okay. All right. And when we come back on the other side, we can get into the rest of what you found, Mr. Wright, that we haven't got into yet.
Especially Donald Trump.
Sure,
yeah, I'm
sure.
Interested to hear that.
Even though that's a work in progress, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to cover the Donald Trump stuff, and then let's get into As the Days of Noah, which has a CERN connection. Many people were messaging me today telling me, please, talk about CERN. So if we could cover that before we close out. But, yeah, sure, we can talk about Trump.
We're not allowed to talk about CERN. We're not supposed to.
No, absolutely.
Really?
Eric won't let us. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, on the other side, we'll hit Donald Trump, and we'll hit the CERN connection. Folks, you're listening to Matthew Jonathan Wright here on the Hagman & Hagman Report, live on Global Star Radio Network, 7 to 10, Monday through Friday. We're live on YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, as well as Global Star Radio Network. And we'll be right back with Mr. Matthew Jonathan Wright.
And the echoes in my mind.
Stay with us.
All right, thanks, sir.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.
Yeah. You know what?